All right, we're looking, we're in a series called A Church Captivated with Jesus, and our passage for today is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, if you find that in the Bible, of the Bibles that are in the chairs, if you would yell out that page number. 1070? 970. Who wants to read those few verses? Chapter 11 of Matthew, verses 28 through 30. You got it. 1070, right?
970.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh.
You go ahead.
I need some more coffee.
Sorry, what's the passage, John?
Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Okay. All right. Pardon me, my reading is not great. So, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yeah, thank you. Good job. So we're in this series of a church captivated with Jesus. We're really asking the question, what's winning your heart? Or asking the question, what gives you a sense of such incredible assurance or being settled? What snaps you out of living in a place of fear or just mulling things over always or feeling unsettled? And we live in a time and in a place too where, man, people are searching. People are really searching. They're seeing things in many ways like fall apart or leaders or systems, or there's so much distrust to institutions and a variety of things, and they're looking for something real. Or even off the cuff here, Kyle and I were talking about just even AI, like how much you're like, is that real? Is that a person? Is it not a person? Or the creepiness that's taking place of how much like AI is doing things. But there's a desire for something that actually brings real hope, long-lasting hope. It isn't just this momentary vibe I love sourdough bread, but it isn't going to heal you. It's just, where is it? What will bring life? It's almost like there's an evil out there that knows our hearts. Knows that when people are becoming spiritually open, at some level, that there's this way that this evil just wants to give little bits of like a half truth, a quarter truth, a tenth of a truth, and then you just cling to that like, oh, that's it. Like you can suck out life or truth or something from that, and it's like a 30-second well done TikTok video. Just makes people like, that's it, that's what it is. And you're like, that's not it. But it scratches at something. People are so longing for something real. And that's why last week we were looking at this parable to start the series off, to wake us up to what is real, right? It's the parable. It's here it is. Here's the truth. Jesus is so generous. And as we wait for his return from the parable last week, what will we do? Will we use the resources that he's so generous with to us to grow our own estate, our own influence, or his? Or to say that even another way, sometimes there's an idea to grow his influence, but it's done more in the sense of like, well, I've got to argue for him. I've got to create a culture war for him. I've got to. And it's just spinning you out. The only way to really do this is when you actually know him. And the only way then to really know him is to be with him. And so it's more of your life marked of being with him, of trying to make some kind of influence, right? On any way. So today, as we sit and soak in more of Jesus, what I hope you hear is Jesus is not one of many options to find peace and truth and forgiveness that are out there in the world. He himself is the answer. And the outcome of that is you have a permanent home. And we'll tap into what that means and what that looks like and what I'm trying to get there with that. If you've been around me, like this verse, you've heard me say a bunch, or it's probably the thing that we've maybe even said the most from on a Sunday, or if you're meeting with me one-on-one or whatever. And partly it's because I'm so desperate for what is actually real. I'm so desperate myself every day for real forgiveness and real life and real hope that it's not just like you just gonna do some things and get through the day. Or is God something that just kind of like patches you up, like a get the car back out on the road a little bit, and maybe you know you'll need some more repair again, so you come back next Sunday. Is that it, or you just feel yet another, like I've said earlier, this complexity of all the figuring out these work relationships or these tasks or figuring out this family drama or the situation or school or whatever it is. And you just feel like you have to navigate it all. You have to be the one that figures out the path, the maze. And it feels exhausting being in that maze. Is that all that he's offering, is just to kind of help you get through that? Just enough to maybe make it. One of the things that as I talk to people all over, I hear over and over an underlying theme more than I ever have of fear. Fear in this deep place, an unsettling fear. And it's not even a sense of like you have to be at rock bottom. Like I was talking to someone months ago, and they said to me, my counselor is helping me. They're not someone from here. My counselor's helping me, putting that out there. Sometimes Lisa's always like, I wonder who he's talking about when he says that. Not in a mean way. Hey, don't hear that right. This person says, my counselor's helping me navigate some things in my life. Also, this is not saying counseling is bad. Don't hear that. And what I'm starting to realize is, and now at this moment, they're getting pretty tender in their, you can hear in their language and their voice is quivering a bit and they're tearing up. What I most want and need, what I desire and want to feel secure, I'm finding what I thought was going to be in a particular relationship or relationships isn't there. And so I'm learning, I have to go and I got to find that someplace else. And in some sense, you're like, you're not wrong. On another sense, that could send you down some really dangerous paths. And this person, they're not at rock bottom. And actually, if you were to look at them from the outside, you would probably say, gosh, they kind of have it all. They have all the things that someone would probably want. But they're searching something. They feel like what they desire most isn't there. So here in these words in Matthew 11, Jesus is so real and so gritty and so incredible. These are not the words that belong on a Hallmark card. No. Right? Like this isn't, my mom loves Hallmark cards or stories. She's probably listening to this eventually. Sorry, Mom. But it's so much more. It's deeper. Like, Jesus' words here of the come to me are an invitation. And they're actually more than an invitation. This is the one place that Jesus explicitly tells us what his heart is. Like this is not like if you've ever had, if someone calls you up or you get a message from some friends, they're like, hey, I'm moving apartments. Like Amber will be moving in a couple of months. Maybe she'll reach out, help her move. But it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm willing. I guess we could help, but when usually when someone's asking you to move, you're not like, yeah, I'm all in. Like, that is not normal response. Like, your inclination isn't like, yeah, I mean, I guess I could help. That's not what Jesus is inviting you to. Like, his come to me is an inclination, is a movement. He would be the person that comes over actually in the move and they're like, it's so good to be here. And you're like, we're just moving things. You know, and they're like, but it's like the inclination, it's who he is. He's there. He's all in. That's where this invitation is coming in, because he's the most gentle, tender person ever. The most lowly, meaning approachable person ever. It's just who he is. It's the heart. It's the movement. There's no guessing games. That's his inclination to you. But we struggle with that. Our folks from the outside, they're like, what is it really? Because that doesn't seem like that. Or I talk to people, that doesn't seem to operate in those ways. I don't see them changed. So when Jesus says, come to me, it's not this command, like I'm yelling at Isaac, get over here, right? Or to our pet. It's not also Jesus saying, like the boss saying, hey, walk into your office. There's something wrong with your work. We need to talk. That's not the come to me. It's also not like a used car dealership, like shaking his head like, this is the best deal in town. And you can walk away, but this is it, and it's time limited. Like, this is not the come to me. This is, I'm right here. I know you, all of you. I'm inviting you to wholeness. The inclination is tenderness. My heart is come here. And it isn't just like, that's not a light invitation. Like, I could walk to my neighbors across the street. It's like 30 yards. Ask them to join me in a barbecue. Like, that's not a very difficult invitation. Jesus left perfection, heaven, to come here for you. Like, that's a big, that's not me going over 30 paces to say, cook a barbecue. So who's the invitation for? Or to say it as Dane Ortlund does in his book, like, what qualifies you to be invited? Lisa and I joke that when we first moved to Ann Arbor, right, Lisa's looking for jobs all over and she's applying to different things, a lot of things at the university. And now she's on the other side of things where she does a lot of like interviewing or looking at resumes and processing who is the right fit. And now she'll look back and we'll kind of laugh like, oh my gosh, you applied for things like laughably. There's like a director role. I don't have any experience at University of Michigan. Like, I don't know their systems. Like, this was ridiculous that I would apply. I don't have the know-how, the resume, the experience. Like, there's just no way. And I think there can be a way, and you think about Jesus, is like, you've got to have something on your resume that gets you there. Is that what it is? Well, actually, it is. It's if you read it, the qualification is weary and heavy laden. It means you qualify if you're that guy that I was talking to and he says, I got everything kind of, but But honestly, I feel unsettled, undesired, and kind of this just constant low-level fear. Or maybe you're like, I'm just tired of trying to hold everything together and trying to fix everything or trying to navigate the complexities of everything. I'm just tired of trying to do that. Or maybe you're just angry inside. You're just angry. Or maybe you feel like you are at rock bottom. The invitation and the access is if you're any of those. And you say, actually, I can't figure it out. I don't have it in me to fix this, to do anything here. That invitation is to wholeness in Jesus. And by definition, then, it should make the most humble group of people ever. And this really struck me this week as I was sitting in this passage. And you might hear that and be like, look, that sounds like very idealistic. That wasn't my experience in a past church experience or when I've engaged some people that would identify themselves as believers. But why? Why actually should it make the most humble people ever? Because our entrance fee wasn't put yourself together. Your entrance fee wasn't pay your dues and then you become VIP. It isn't that like you have to become and look a certain way to fit in with whatever that group is. It isn't that you just kind of work towards fitting to that norm. Jesus isn't inviting you into a culture of performance or fear or hiddenness. He's inviting you into Him, which brings freedom and assurance and forgiveness and honesty. With wisdom, one of the things I love to do is like, and maybe you've seen me do this, or especially on a Sunday. I love to be in conversations with people and then be like, oh, hold on, come here. Andrew, come here. Like this happened a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, Kyle, remember we were trying to figure out and navigate our retirement and this. And then Andrew came in because he's an expert in this area. And then Andrew's like, yeah. And God showed me how much I mattered in this moment. And Kyle's like, this is crazy. And you're like, this is what God was doing. Or talking to somebody else, and I'm like, hey, oh my gosh, Nate, come over here. See, do you know, have you met this person yet? Have you heard how God is changing and what He's doing in his life? And, or gosh, this thing or this person. And our first inclination is always to maybe feel like, I gotta hide that. Or I can't bring that up. Or I just wanna bring those things out, right, with wisdom. To say, do you see what God's doing? Do you see what Jesus is doing in someone's life? Because it changes you so deeply. Here in this passage, let me just say this. If you've been someplace or you've been around people and you don't feel that, you don't taste that, I just want you to know, like, that's not Jesus. If it's performance and more hiddenness and not just being, come on in. That's not Jesus. Because you're seeing the heart of Jesus here. He's literally saying, this is it. So we can clearly say if that's your experience from someone or something else, it ain't him. And part of this context, Jesus is responding to those that are rejecting him. If you read through chapter 11, the religious leaders believe, like, people find their righteousness, like their wholeness, who they are, make being right in obeying the law. And so when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, he is saying something so incredible. First, a yoke would have been like this, like wooden bar put on an animal to, you know, help do some work and guide them. And Jesus is using that, saying, like, everyone it has some teacher. Everyone has someone in some way that they're being directed by. What are you submitting to? And the yoke of the religious leader is weighty. It's demanding and full of commands. And it's all based on what you do or don't do. Performance. And it's fear-driven in that way. And you see Jesus saying, my yoke is easy. And easy there means, and we'll get touches in a second again, it means well-fitting. That's what the word easy means, well-fitting. And we see the heart of Jesus coming out. And you see it even in another passage, and I've shared this a bunch of times. But, sidebar, real quick. When the word heart, like the heart of God, isn't just like, oh, it's this feeling and emotion. It's not that. It's more of like, this is a command center. Or this is like kind of what he's all about, what is driving him. It's not just like how we would use it today, like, oh, just follow your heart, dreams, wherever you go, right? If I hear that a lot in Olympic language, my heart and dream was this. No, it's the command center of who Jesus is. But we see this in John 8. And there's a whole bunch here, and we won't go into all of it. I've shared it before. But, right, the religious leaders, they bring a woman who was caught in adultery to Jesus. And they say, the law of Moses says that we should stone her. What do you think we should do? Right, lots of layers here. Not going to go into them all right now. But Jesus starts sketching in the sand. And then the religious leaders, like, push. They're like, come on, man, answer the question, right? Like, what should we do with the woman? And Jesus says to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone. And they leave, all of them. And then the one who is actually without sin picks up a stone and starts to like what? You even know the story. He doesn't do that. The one who could pick up a stone by his law says, no, I'm not going to crush you. I'm going to love you. And he says, your sins are forgiven. It's before she even says anything. That is this inclination to forgive, this inclination to love, not to just come in and say you're a crushing weight. Now he's breathing life into her. This is hard. He also, though, says, go and sin no more. So he isn't just saying, hey, look, you've had this relationship. You know, maybe you found wholeness in this relationship with this guy or whatever's taking place. Go find another one. Maybe another guy or another situation. Go follow your heart and do what you want to do, and maybe you'll find life. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, go and sin no more. He is showing his deep love that his yoke is easy because it well fits you, who you are, what it means to live for him. The invitation to come to him is like coming home. Here's what I mean by that. Not everybody has this story. Some people grew up in a home or a background where it didn't feel, home was not safe. And so I'm not ignorant or blind to that. But think of like a situation where it is. So if you grew up in a home and you're a kid, right? So we got some young folks, like you come in and you're like, I just come home and things just are there. You aren't thinking, man, we have got to make this mortgage payment this week. Where will we get the funds for that mortgage payment or rent? Or as Lisa was doing taxes last night, like, I've got to get to the taxes. You know, are you that kid and you come into the house and you're like, I got to find all the material, the paperwork. Do I have these documents? Or you're like, oh man, the refrigerator's broken. We've got to get someone in to fix that refrigerator. Like, when you're a kid in a home, you aren't, it's not even on your mind. You just come in, bounce in the house, and you're like, where's the snacks at? Right, open the cabinet, grab a snack, get the refrigerator, you're getting food. You just kind of go, and it's just all assumed that it's all stable. It's like right now, you came in and you sat down on these chairs, and I bet you, like the entire service, you haven't been sitting here and worrying and mulling over, will this chair hold me? You're not even thinking about it, right? I'm settled. I'm good. The invitation for Jesus to say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, that he is the one who forgives and changes the life, actually creates a sense of permanent home where in Christ, you aren't actually worrying about a whole lot anymore. You actually, in your life, are like, wait a second. Why am I mulling this over and over and over? He has me. Wait a second. Why am I so afraid? And things may not be great in different ways or whatever, but like, there's still a deeper truth. Like, I'm assured. So you hear passages like Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not on your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works. Or Philippians 1, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. This is just like, it's done. You can bounce in and come in and it's assured. You don't even have to worry because his inclination, his heart, is to move towards love, gentle, tenderness, change. That frees you. But there's a difficulty there because, like I said, it's almost like there's an evil that just knows our hearts and puts things on our plate to say, yeah, but. Right? Yeah, but. Fear. It won't work. That won't be enough. He isn't enough. And you go back and you go to the truths over and over. No, this is actually what it is. The chair is secure. I don't even have to worry. He genuinely has me. Now, that doesn't go through all the complexities that, like, decisions you have to make, but it changes us. So to come to Jesus is coming, like coming home. It's permanent. And in Jesus, he's not pointing you to a religion or in some way to like human secularism that you can look inside yourself and figure it out. Jesus is the one who says, I am the truth. It's not oppressive. It's absolutely freeing. It's a yoke that's easy. It's well-fitted. It doesn't mean it's effortless. It still is work. It still is time. It still is energy. At Emmanuel, we don't have a big plan to market to Ann Arbor and beyond. We don't sit around and strategize like, how will we get our name out to grow this thing? Blow it up. Do we want to grow in all kinds of ways and people's lives change and people here? Absolutely. But do you want to know what the most incredible, powerful, life-changing marketing is? It's you. It's you. It's when you taste Jesus so deeply that you're like, why can I be so accepted in at the honest places of my life, not be condemned, but be forgiven. That the entrance fee isn't making it and becoming something. It's, I'm not actually enough, and I'm a part of a group that is so together needing him. You are the strategy. You are the best marketing plan ever. It's like Shark Tank, right? Like, it's a TV show, you know what I'm talking about? My family watches it. It's like if you've seen Shark Tank, sometimes somebody comes and they've got some kind of food or drink and they taste it and they're like, this is terrible. Like, if it doesn't taste good, they don't invest in. Why would somebody sit down and have a conversation with somebody else and then just trying to sell Jesus if they don't know how good he is? Like, it doesn't work. It falls flat, or it just becomes a performance and you become exhausted trying to keep proving it. And you're like, oh man, you know that White Lotus, like, what are they, Lisa, the lemon O's? You know they're that good. You don't have to sell it. Just eat it. Like, just eat it. You want more. This is what Jesus does. It's who he is. It's his inclination. So you become so changed. And so, like, it just goes out. My last thing is this. When you see someone maybe different than you, maybe it's a server at a restaurant, maybe it's someone that you work with, maybe you bump into them at a store, maybe whatever it is. And at first, maybe it's someone you're like, I don't even realize they're there, right? I'm just moving through my day. Maybe God will start to open up that person there matters. And you wonder what their story is. Or go a little different way. Maybe you bump into somebody or you see someone or anything and you're like, that person, I'm so frustrated with that person. They're so different than me. Like, are you kidding me? And you look at them like they are just so less. Here's the thing. I have felt that. I have done that. Because it's fear. Fear of what they maybe represent or who they are or anything like that. And then, in the last few years, I have tasted the grace of Jesus in a way that has changed my life forever. And I sit or I see someone that may be very different than me. And I say, who else is going to tell them how really loved they are? For real, who else is going to come into this person's life and say, am I going to throw a rock at you? Or will I show you the one who didn't throw the rock, who has so desperately in love with you? And at the same time says, my yoke is easy. Go and sin no more. And you break for them. We live in a place that is the case all over the place. Do you so know how far God came for you? How good Jesus is? His inclination is gentle and lowly. It is to come to him. It is to love. That's his heart. And the more you taste that, the more you see others, not as a project or a duty or any of that. They are someone who needs to know what home feels like. A real, permanent home. No longer guessing. No longer running through the complexities of how do I figure it out. No longer worried about the bill. It's been paid by him. By Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. This is his invitation. this is who he is. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are